Here we are at the beginning of the second section of Living Simply and Loving It. The essence of voluntary simplicity is summarized in the classic book, Living More with Less. I like to use body signals to help remember the five life standards of voluntary simplicity. Try to visualize or even do the motions yourself right where you are. The first standard is cherish the natural order, or we might say care for creation. Extend your arms in front of you, palms up, and take a deep breath. When we read the story of creation in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and reflect on, "And Lord God put the human in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it," or as another translation says, "to work it and take care of it." And when we read the story of Noah in Genesis 6 through 9, we come to the conclusion that God does not want the earth harmed. Reflect on the implications of the prophet in Ezekiel 34. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Revelation 7 says, "Do not damage the earth, or the sea, or the trees." Leviticus 25 concludes that the earth belongs to God, and therefore cannot be held perpetually. Think of the implications for creation of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." The world, people, animals, plants, all creation. This is the environmental component. To paraphrase Thoreau, what's the point of having a nice house if you don't have a planet to put it on? Most folks have heard the five R's of caring for creation. Let's say them together. Reduce, reuse, recycle, restore, and respond. Reusing means to use something over again. It means not using something just one time. It means refusing consumables like styrofoam cups, and it also means using things that can be repaired. That's not easy, because so many things are designed to break. It's called planned obsolescence. We can buy tools and appliances and shoes that can be repaired, but we need to do our homework to find them. It's not convenient. The Germans are on to something. They're beginning to require manufacturers to be responsible for the final disposition of their products. So when you're through with it, it goes back to the builder. That should make the company a lot more concerned about how the product is built and how it can be repaired and recycled. Recycling means making something new out of something that's already been used, like park benches out of plastic soda bottles. Most of us realize that we have to do something. So we recycle glass, paper, metal. After glugging down a soda, we drop the can in the bin and carry the bin to the curb on recycle day and feel proud to be an American, proud that we have done our best for Mother Nature. That's an important start, but that's really the easiest and least necessary part of the whole cycle. Even more important is pre-cycling, evaluating a product before we buy it to make sure it is environmentally sound. And recycling does little good if we don't close the loop, that is, buy products made of recycled materials, such as paper. Recycling can be used as an excuse to keep things the way they are. It's okay to keep on overconsuming as long as we recycle. Wrong! Yes, it may for the time being cost more to buy and use recycled paper. But living simply, living faithfully, is not living on the cheap. Sometimes it costs more to do what's right. Restoring. Remember what your grandparent used to say? You got it out, you put it back. Restoring is putting things back. Now we're talking about sustainability, sustainable agriculture, sustainable development. The most common example is replanting trees, but this means putting natural, not synthetic nutrients back into the soil. This can help make up for past mistakes, but never should be used as a reason to make future ones. Maybe you've heard the expression, a tree farm is not a forest. A forest is an ecosystem with animals and insects. A tree farm is a place to make more paper. What is sustainability? It is the ability to sustain a way of life indefinitely. The way we live in North America is not sustainable. That is, we use up many more resources than we replace. And as our standard of living spreads around the globe, the entire world is becoming more unsustainable. Part of the reason is because we choose to use resources that are not replaceable, like oil and coal. The irony is that we live in a universe that has zillions of stars, any one of which is capable of sustaining our energy needs virtually forever. Even our own sun, which is a minor star, could sustain us for millions of years, but we choose to burn oil and coal instead of using sun power through solar panels and photovoltaic cells. Generating electricity using wind power is also a product of the sun. Some types of agriculture, such as organic farming, are more sustainable than others, but corporate agriculture, which is taking over so much of our food production, distribution, and marketing, prefers to use forms of ag which are currently more profitable but are not sustainable. At the root of the problem is that economists don't know how to subtract. We are addicted to growth economics. We're disappointed if the gross domestic product, the GDP, doesn't keep going up. We tolerate debt in our personal lives and enormous debt in our nation's life. When calculating the GDP, we don't count all the non-renewable resources that we're depleting. We assume they're free. If we calculate their value in, the GDP is actually going down. As resources become more scarce, their value will, of course, go up. One scenario is that as resources become more scarce, the rich and powerful will have them. The poor will not. They will die or they will fight. Eventually, the earth will be so depleted that the population will decrease and those who remain will live with scarcity. The other scenario is that we accept the limitations of sustainability. We live within our personal means and within the earth's means. We buy products that represent sustainable living, such as organic foods that are not grown with synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. We begin to understand the difference between cost and price. We decide to buy or not to buy a product based on its cost to the earth, not just the price to us personally. We learn about permaculture, self-sustaining plots of land for plants, animals, birds, and humans. We avoid monocultures where only one thing is grown. We learn about natural control of pests and weeds instead of synthetic ones. We support community gardens, local farms, urban gardens, and subscription farms. In a subscription farm, a group of people, the subscribers, hire a farmer. They pay with cash, with labor during the busy season, or with both. Then at harvest, all the subscribers receive a share of the fresh produce. We invest primarily in people, and when we invest our money, we do it in a socially responsible way, like cooperatives and microloans. Microloans are small loans that are primarily to women in developing countries to start small businesses. The repayment rate is extremely high. The next R, responding, means that we make our values known to others through one-to-one testimonials, by speeches, workshops, events, study circles, through the media, by letters, phone calls, and email that we send to power brokers like politicians and CEOs. The first R is the most important and hardest for Americans. Reduce. That's what simple living is all about. It can begin with something as simple as the rule of half. Use only half the recommended amount of toothpaste or laundry soap or whatever. If it is still effective, then you have doubled the value of that product. It will last twice as long. You have reduced waste by half. The five R's. Reduce, reuse, recycle, restore, and respond. Show us how to cherish the natural order. The next standard is do justice. Extend your arms outward from your sides as if balancing the scales. Due justice may remind us of the courts, you know, to get our due. Biblical justice is quite different. It reflects God's great love for the poor and our call to respond to their needs. Isaiah 5 proclaims, "The Lord of hosts is exalted by justice." Micah 6 says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" In How Much is Enough, Alan Durning describes the world population in three groups. 1/5, or 20%, are the disenfranchised people. They have no reliable source of water or food, no medical care, only one set of clothes, and they walk wherever they go. 3/5, that's 60% of the world population, make up the sustainers. They have basic, reliable sources of food, some medical care, several sets of clothes, and they take public transportation. The remaining 1/5, or 20%, are the over-consumers. This group has access to lavish, cheap food, has reliable medical care, has many sets of clothes, and they use private transportation. This last group, the over-consumers, is made up, to one degree or another, of virtually everybody in North America, Western Europe, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. Now guess what percentage of the world's resources are used by the 80%, the disenfranchised and sustainers combined, and by the 20% of the overconsumers. That's right, just flip the figures. The 20% of overconsumers use 80% of the resources, and the other 80% of the world's population use only 20% of the resources. Now, to bring this closer to home, the U.S. makes up 4% of the world's population, but we use 1/3 of the resources and produce 2/3 of the waste. Notice that this principle is not think about justice or even believe in justice. It's do justice. Besides our prayers, our contributions, and our pressuring of governments, we can help the poor around the world by taking seriously the phrase, "Live simply that others may simply live." By consuming less, we make more available for others. Our consumption is a justice issue. We may not, in our lifetimes, be able to change the inequitable distribution of wealth, nor to make all tax laws just, but we can work to take control of our own lives, our own consumption, our own waste, and then share ideas of simpler living with others. This is the end of Section 2. Section 3 talks about more life standards of voluntary simplicity. For now, consider these questions. 1. In what ways do I already cherish the natural order, or care for creation? What other ways exist for me? Reduce, reuse, recycle, restore, respond. 2. In what ways do I already do justice? What other ways exist for me?